you have questions? Do you need answers? The Pastor Study will help you find those answers through God's Word. Our teacher today is Pastor Tom Brock. The Pastor Study is sponsored by pastorstudy.org. So grab your Bible and join us for The Pastor Study.
Welcome to The Pastor Study. Just this week, I saw two Jehovah's Witnesses with their briefcase go door to door through the neighborhood, and I stopped and prayed for them. Often I'll see two young Mormon men on their bicycles going through the neighborhood, and I stop and pray, Lord, may they be influenced upon and not influencing. These are the cults. Last week we had cults part one. This is the second half. We're going to talk about the cults. Before we do, let's review what we learned last time. Here's what real Christians believe, as opposed to what's coming. If you're really a Christian, you believe the Bible is your final authority. God's Word, not the Book of Mormon, is your book. A second thing Christians believe, God is the Creator. He is separate from His creation. Our Father art in heaven. God made the trees and the flowers. He is not the trees and the flowers. He's separate from His creation. We learned the third thing Christians believe is that man is sinful since the fall. Adam and Eve brought us all into sin. We're all sinners. We're not basically good. We also learned that God is the Trinity. We believe in one God and three equal eternal persons. The Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. We also believe as Christians Jesus is the only God-man. God became a human being only once. There haven't been thousands of incarnations. There's one incarnation in Jesus of Nazareth. We believe as Christians we're saved by grace alone. All the cults, all the other religions teach you're saved by your own goodness. We believe we don't have our own goodness. We're sinners. We need Christ to save us by grace alone. And we believe that you're saved by Christ alone. We do need Jesus Christ to be saved. He's not one of many nice paths to the kingdom. He's the only path to the kingdom. Jesus said that himself. Read John 14:6. And the true Christians believe there's a heaven and a hell because Jesus taught there's a heaven and a hell. That's what real Christians believe. Now let's get into the cults. First cult for today, here we go. In 1879, Charles Russell founded the Watchtower magazine featuring his unique interpretation of the Bible. He wrote what he called the Scripture Studies because Pastor Russell believed people can't understand the Bible on their own. They need him, Pastor Russell, if they're going to really understand the Bible. Here's what he said himself, quote, "We find that people cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself. We see that if anyone lays aside my Scripture Studies and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience shows that within 2 years, he goes into darkness. But if he had merely read my Scripture Studies with their references and had not read a single page of the Bible as such, he would still be in the light at the end of 2 years." Did you catch that? So even though Jehovah's Witnesses, when they come to your door, they say they believe in the Bible, ultimately their authority is Charles Russell and the Watchtower magazine. The Jehovah's Witness movement grew. In 1961, they published their own translation of the Bible called the New World Translation, which has been repudiated by just about every Greek and Hebrew scholar because it mistranslates the original languages of Scripture. Today, there are over 2 million Jehovah's Witnesses, and sadly, I think they're growing. What do Jehovah's Witnesses believe? They believe that only the Father is God. Jesus isn't God. The Holy Spirit isn't God. Only the Father is God. They believe the doctrine of the Trinity, one God in three persons, is from the devil. They also believe that Jesus is a created being. Jesus is not eternal. Jesus is not God with the Father and the Spirit. God the Father made Jesus at a point in time, so Jesus is not eternal. They also believe that Jesus, before he came to earth, was the Archangel Michael. And they believe that the Archangel Michael and Lucifer the devil are brothers. So ultimately, they believe, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers. Is any of this in the Bible? No. They say they believe in the Bible. None of that is in the Bible. In fact, read Hebrews chapter 1. The whole first chapter of Hebrews was written against a cult that taught in the first century that Jesus was an angel. And of what angels did God ever say, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever"? You got God the Father calling Jesus God in Hebrews 1 to correct the cult belief that that book was written to counteract. So, Read Hebrews 1. Jesus is not an angel. He's eternally God with the Father and the Spirit. Also, in Jehovah's Witnesses, salvation is by Christ's redemption plus your good works. They'll talk about Jesus redeeming us on the cross, but that's not enough. You have to earn it too. Here's what Charles Russell wrote, quote, "Humans, each for himself, must have a full chance to prove by obedience or disobedience their worthiness of eternal life." Well, but doesn't the Bible teach nobody's worthy of eternal life? We're all sinners and it's only by grace we're saved. But according to Jehovah's Witnesses, the cross isn't enough, Christ isn't enough, you've got to add something to it. That's cult-like. Jehovah's Witnesses also do not believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. That's a cult teaching. And Jehovah's Witnesses believe there is no hell. I'm quoting the Watchtower magazine. "The doctrine of a burning hell where the wicked are tortured eternally after death cannot be true, mainly for four reasons. Number one, it is wholly unscriptural. Number two, it is unreasonable. Number three, it is contrary to God's love. And number four, it is repugnant to justice." Well, let's ask the question, is the teaching of hell unbiblical? Listen to Jesus himself. This comes from Matthew 25. Jesus said, "The evil will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And then Jesus, speaking in Luke 16, "The rich man died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes being in torment and said, I am in agony in this flame." There are many places in the Bible that talk about the reality of hell. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, when they say they believe in the Bible, somehow they get rid of those verses. All right, what do you do if they come to your door? I had a woman from the church say, "You know, Pastor Brock, the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door and I slammed the door in their face," as if that's a good thing to do. That's not a good thing to do. Jehovah's Witnesses have eternal souls. When they come to your door, you be polite to them. You love them. You pray for them. If you really know your Bible, you talk to them. When they come to my door, we have a long talk. But if you don't know your Bible, don't let them in the door because they can confuse you. Let's go to the next cult, Mormonism, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Here's the story. In 1820, in Palmyra, New York, a 15-year-old boy, Joseph Smith, has a vision. He writes this of his vision: "My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the denominations was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself as to be able to speak, that I saw personages who stood above me in the light, which were of all the sects, which one was right, which one should I join, I asked them. I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personages who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in God's sight." All their creeds. 3 years later, in 1823, Joseph Smith has a second vision. He writes, "I had a second vision. A personage appeared at my bedside who was glorious beyond description. He said that he was a messenger sent from the presence of God, and his name was Moroni, that God has a work for me, Joseph, to do, and that my name should be had for good and evil among all the nations. He told me that a book had been deposited, written on golden tablets, and I was shown exactly where the plates had been deposited. On September 22, 1827, I was given the plates by the heavenly messenger with the instructions to keep them carefully until he the angel should call for them again. So Joseph then writes down what's on these golden tablets, the Book of Mormon, and then the angel Moroni comes back down, takes the golden tablets back up into heaven, and now we have the Book of Mormon. The Mormon movement grew under Joseph Smith's leadership, but in 1844, a group of angry anti-Mormons killed Joseph Smith, and then the leadership went to Brigham Young. Brigham Young led the Mormons to Salt Lake City, Utah, and since 1847, they've been headquartered there. Today, they have more than 5 million Mormons worldwide, and it is really growing. What do Mormons believe? Mormons have three authorities, they say: the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and their living prophet. Every generation has a living male who is able to represent God for that generation. Mormons believe in polytheism. In other words, they believe in many gods. Our God the Father is one of many. A God the Father that we worship now used to be a Mormon man who lived on another planet, and he became a god. Mormons teach that God became God. To quote their own literature, Mormon prophets have continuously taught the sublime truth that God the Eternal Father was once a mortal man who passed through a school earth similar to that which we are passing through. He became God, an exalted being. So their God has not always been God. He became God. To quote Joseph Smith, "I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so you may see. God was once a man like us. Yea, God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on an earth. You have got to learn how to be gods yourself." Now, my Bible says, "From everlasting to everlasting thou art God," not Mormonism. Mormons also teach the pre-existence of souls, that we've all existed before we came to earth in heaven. So, that's Mormonism. Now, what do we say to all this? I mean, I remember when I was 16, my family went on vacation to Lake Tahoe, and we stopped at Salt Lake City, and we went through the big temple museum, and here Mom and I are standing in front of these sculptures of Joseph Smith getting the golden tablets. And I can remember at age 16 saying, "Mom, how do we know this isn't real, that this didn't really happen?" And I think my response from my mom was, "I don't know, maybe it did." She didn't know about Mormonism, and I didn't either. We were Lutherans that didn't know as much as we should have. Well, how do we know that this is all not true? Well, the answer is simple. You test it against the Bible. Does the Bible teach there are thousands of gods and that you can become a god? Listen to what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 4. "The Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him." And four verses later, Deuteronomy 4:39. "He is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other." And did God become God? Listen to Psalm 90. "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So even though the Mormons use the Bible, their Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible, teaching polytheism. So, years ago, I'm getting ready for my sermon on Sunday morning. I've got my Bible commentaries all over the floor, and I'm kind of getting ready. The doorbell rings. Two Mormons. And I let them in. I moved the Bibles and sit down. And I try to be very polite, because these people are lost and they have eternal souls and we need to love them. So I was polite and I bit my tongue and I said, "Why don't you tell me what the Mormon Church teaches about salvation, on how to get to heaven?" And the one took out a piece of paper and he drew three circles. There are three heavens, and if you're a really good Mormon, you go to heaven number one. If you're a normal person, you go to heaven number two. And if you're pretty evil, you'll probably go to heaven number three. But pretty much everybody goes to heaven, depending on how you lived your life. And I was polite and I listened. And then I said at the end of their presentation, "You know, no offense, but you going door to door with that, I think you're going to depress people." They said, "Why? I said, "Well, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven number three, much less heaven number one. My only hope for salvation is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins." At which point they said, "Oh, we believe all that." I said, "Wait a minute. I asked you to share what you call the gospel. You didn't mention the word Jesus. Your gospel doesn't need Jesus. Well, then they keep agreeing with me. And this was weird. At the end of the conversation, they get up to leave and they say, well, you've got to admit one thing. Joseph Smith's vision created such a huge movement. That vision, it was so powerful and supernatural, it had to be from God or the devil. And I said, I'll give you that. But then they said, but you'll know them by their fruits. When I look at the fruits of that vision, it started the Mormon church. We know where that vision came from. And I said, I look at the fruits of that vision. He starts a church where there are thousands of gods. You can become a god. And I know exactly where that vision came from. And it was kind of weird. The Mormon missionary's eyes kind of got like this. It was kind of spooky, and they took off and left. Listen, the spirit behind Mormonism is not God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's an evil spirit. And, you know, and I know people say this, you hear this, oh, but Mormons are so wonderful people. They've got so much good morality. They're so family-centered. Okay, what they do to Jesus might be bad, but their rest is so good. And I hear that and I think, wait a minute, that's like saying, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? What they do to Jesus is bad? That's not a tiny thing. That's a huge thing. Yes, they've got some things right, but what they do to Jesus is horrible. One last thing on this. So, I'm driving through Canada and I see these signs, come visit the Mormon temple. And I pulled off, and I walked through the. They had this big kind of museum. Actually, they had a room with these big, I don't know, 12 pictures. And here's an elderly Mormon couple, and I was younger then. Young man, you want to see our pictures? And okay, well, here's a picture of everybody in heaven. We all existed in heaven before we ever came to earth, which is not in the Bible, but that's their picture. And second picture, oh, here's Joseph Smith getting the golden tablets in 1820, and they go through it all, and I get to picture number 5 and I really can't hold it anymore. And I said, you know, no offense, but I'm a Christian and I read my Bible and I don't believe Joseph Smith was from God. The woman got kind of upset. I bear testimony that Joseph Smith was a prophet. And I said, I believe he was a prophet too, but a prophet of the devil. And she almost fell over and boy, do we get into it. But you know, when I left, I prayed for that couple. They're so deceived. And yes, they're family-centered. Yes, they have good morals. But what they do to Jesus is horrible. One last thing on the Mormons, then we'll get to the next cult, the last cult. I always pray before I get on an airplane. God, put me next to somebody that I can maybe share the gospel with. I'm going to Italy. I get on the plane. I'm surrounded by 35 Mormons because they're on their way to their two-year mission to Italy. And I sit down next to this Mormon guy. Plane takes off. I open up my Bible. He takes out his Book of Mormon, opens up his Book of Mormon, and we get into quite the discussion. And I did my, you know, the Bible says there's one God, not many gods. The Bible says Jesus is the only time God became a man. We're never going to become God. You know, and so we went back and forth. And the young man eventually says to me, my dad's an evangelical Christian. He begged me not to come on this trip. And then I watched the Mormon leader come over, make him get up and move, and then the Mormon leader sat down next to me and kind of, hi, how are you? He just wanted to get that guy out of there, and then we didn't really have much of a talk. But listen, when you see Mormons on their bicycles, if they come to your door, be polite. I'm not saying let them in. If you don't know your Bible, just maybe say, no thanks, I don't believe Mormonism is Christianity. But pray for these people. The last cult today, and this is the sneakiest cult of all. The last cult is called theological liberalism. And this cult is especially big in the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church in America, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. What do theological liberals believe? And again, this is the sneaky cult that's inside of Christian churches. The authority for a theological liberal is the Bible plus human reason. And if you ask a theological liberal, do you believe the Bible is inspired? Oh, yes. All right. Is it infallible? No. The Bible has errors. Well, how do you know what's error in the Bible and what's true in the Bible? Basically, the answer is human reason. My human reason is able to tell what's really true and what's not in the Bible. You know what Martin Luther said of human reason? He called it the devil's whore, because you can get your human reason to validate anything. I mean, I went to Luther Theological Seminary, the ELCA seminary here in St. Paul many years ago. I have a friend who teaches there. He said way less than half of the professors at Luther Seminary today believe in the virgin birth of Christ. So if it doesn't make human reason to you, out it goes. Another teaching of universalism, of theological liberalism is universalism, the old heresy that everybody's going to heaven. You don't need to believe in Jesus. It's nice if you do, but everybody ends up in heaven, which is opposed to what Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm the only way to the kingdom. What the apostles taught, Acts chapter 4, there's no other name given by which we must be saved. So, I mean, if you go to the Center for Progressive Christianity website, you see this on a lot of United Church of Christ websites, they'll say, we believe Jesus is our path to the divine, but we believe other paths that other people have found are just as valid as our path. In other words, all paths lead to heaven as long as you're sincere. Again, find that in the New Testament. I went church hopping some time ago, and I went to an Episcopal church and Catholic church and a couple Lutheran churches, etc. And the good news is I didn't hear heresy, but the bad news is I didn't hear how to be saved. And you know what most of the sermons were? Let's be nice. You want to dream there's a heaven and a hell and you need Jesus. My friend said he left the ELCA Lutheran Church recently, and he said, you know the three foundations of liberal Christianity? Foundation number one, God is nice. Foundation number two, we too should be nice. And foundation number three of liberal Christianity, isn't that nice? I mean, when you go to church and all you hear are nice sermons, I just think, could you preach heaven and hell and the need for Jesus? Well, one other teaching of liberal Christianity is they like to reimagine the Trinity. A lot of theological liberals are big into feminism. God the Father, God the Son talk is sexist, so we need to change that and get rid of God the Father, God the Son. Let's talk about God the Creator and God the Redeemer so we don't make God have masculine symbols. If you go to an ELCA Lutheran church, you probably have the new cranberry-colored hymnal. They have desexed all the psalms to get rid of the masculine references for God. In fact, they've got a hymn to God the Mother in the new cranberry hymnal in the ELCA church. And some Protestants now worship the goddess Sophia. That's their new image for God, so they can get feminine God worship into their services. There are a few pastors that pray, Our Mother and Father who art in heaven, hallowed be their name. When I was an ELCA Lutheran years ago, our bishop got up and opened this service in the name of the Father, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not in the Bible! The last teaching that I'll share of theological liberalism is called ethical relativism. That means things change. What was sin years ago maybe isn't sin anymore. All churches used to be against abortion. Now you've got the Episcopal Church, the United Church of Christ, and the ELCA Lutheran Church pays for abortions in its pastor's health care plan. That's called ethical relativism. Things change. Everybody used to believe in the church that fornication was a sin, sex outside of marriage is a sin. Now you got pastors. I know of a couple, their pastor told them, sex outside of marriage is probably the smartest thing you could do to make sure you're compatible. 1 Corinthians 6 says you won't go to heaven if you're a fornicator. But and then the big one that I won't get into. The big one is homosexuality today. The Bible has always taught it's wrong. The church has always taught it's wrong. Now we have the Episcopal Church, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the ELCA Lutheran Church saying loving, committed homosexual sex is fine. In fact, now you can be a pastor and be into that behavior. America's in trouble. The church is in trouble. The church is becoming a cult in some sectors. Pray for your church, and if you're in a bad church that is teaching these things, find a good Bible-preaching church and leave your church. I encourage you, if you're an ELCA Lutheran, if you're in the United Church of Christ, if you're in the Episcopal Church USA, find a good church and go to that church and let these churches die on their own. Those are the cults. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, we only have a couple of minutes left. You made the statement that Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses are really growing.
Yes.
Why? Who are they appealing to?
They have answers to everything. I mean, what is appeal? I think part of the appeal for the Mormons is that they're very family-centered and they're very moral. And in our American culture, where we're redefining the family and nothing is right and wrong anymore, there's a pull toward Mormonism.
I've seen commercials. They're doing a lot of commercials. I'm a father. I'm a husband.
And
I'm a Mormon.
You bet. And they're wonderfully done, and I grieve when I see them. So it's Jackie, I think the poll. Now, the good news is that these liberal Christian churches that I just mentioned, they're dying. Their numbers are going like this. You know the churches that are going in America? These big non-denominational Bible churches are full of people. So that's the good news.
Okay, can you also tell me what is Spiritism?
Spiritism is kind of a New Age teaching where you contact the dead. And I don't know if you remember, Jackie, there used to be a horrible show called Crossing Over, where the guy would stand in front of the audience. Madam, did you have someone die in the last 3 years that you loved? Yes. Well, was it a man? Yes. And were you close to him? Yes. And then he tells you what he's saying. I mean, it's such bogus. And the Bible says it's an abomination to try to contact the dead. Your Uncle Joe is not floating on earth trying to give you messages. He's in heaven or hell.
Okay, one last question.
Yeah.
What do we do to cult proof our families?
If you want to make sure your child does not join the Jehovah's Witnesses, you go to a good Bible preaching church every Sunday. You read the Bible with your child regularly, tell them Bible stories. But the more you can go to a good church, read the Bible, and then, you know, I'll say this too, get a good book on church history. I mean, all this, the Jehovah's Witness cult about Jesus not being God, that was settled back in 325 AD. These cults have been around a long time. If you know church history, and if you know your Bible, you're not going to get sucked into the deception as much.
Thanks for being with us. We pray that God would be with you this week, granting you His richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for tuning into the Pastor Study. We ask, would you pray for our ministry as we seek to spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ? And would you pray about supporting this ministry? Our address is The Pastor Study, 5200 Emerson Avenue North, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55430. Our website is pastorstudy.org. And our phone number is 763-260-4484. May God richly bless you and join us next week at the same time as we study God's Word. Until then, may the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you.